And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon is Gerd Vuesteman, Executive Director of the Acadiana Center for the Arts. And as Nicole and I were just saying, there's no slow start to spring now here anymore. The cultural season, it just explodes, doesn't it?
Well, you know, we're trying to get it out of the way before Mardi Gras hits us, right? So there's that.
I guess you could say that, but it seems like Mardi Gras hit us, like, I guess, coming out of the chute just January 6th, you know? So it's all a wonderful cultural explosion now here in our community, and the ACA is very much a part of that, and I know you all have lots of things going on, several different series, and they all have performances that will be starting this month. And so maybe we can start with this week.
Sure thing, and, you know, we are thrilled to come out of the chute with a really great slate of performances. Of course, it's all about diversity at ACA. One of the things that I love about what we're able to do is we really sort of bring everything together, and this week is no exception. We had a film screening last night that was fabulous, and on Thursday night we continue our singer-songwriter series with a really great performer, Josh Ritter. As a matter of fact, we particularly proud that we have his trio performance. We snagged it from ACL, Austin City Limits, who has them on the 18th. So he opens his national tour with us here at ACA, which I'm very, very thrilled about. It's going to be a great night. And there's an opening act, also a great songwriter in his own right, Gregory Isakoff. Really great performance as well. So we are sold out for that show, but we may open standing room the day of the show. So if you're interested, see Josh Ritter.
So keep yourself on speed dial.
That's right. You might want to do that. It's going to be a really great night. Mm-hmm. That's Thursday evening at 7:30. And then, of course, we continue our jazz series on Friday night. That's the 17th with Luciana Souza, who's one of my all-time favorite performers. And as I learned this morning, Zachary Richard is one of her biggest fans as well. So if you're into any kind of Brazilian music, jazz, crossing over, she has performed with the Who's Who of anybody. She has had 6 Grammy nominations, has won a Grammy as Best Jazz Performer, has been voted Best Jazz Performer by the International Jazz Writers Guild this year as well. So she's about as good as it gets, and she really is an amazing performer. She's coming with a quintet, including a harmonica player, which is something many people have never heard before. So it's going to be a very special night.
And I know that sometimes with jazz at the center, you all set up a kind of cabaret situation. Are you going to do that, or is it just going to be the seating, theater seating?
Absolutely. We turn the Monkus Theater into a little jazz club, so we have table seating, table service. You feel like you're in a big city. You feel like you're in New York listening to jazz at the Jazz Standard, perhaps, or the Blue Note, but with better sound and no smoking.
Rush out and buy tickets for that. And of course, all of this information that we're talking about is available on your website, so people can bookmark that and make sure that they visit the site often to see what's happening.
Absolutely.
At the center.
Acadiana Center for the Arts.org will get you all the information. You can buy tickets online. It's very convenient. Mm-hmm. You have a seating chart. You can pick your own. It's really wonderful. Mm-hmm. And most of our shows nowadays sell out very quickly. Like even Luciana Souza, we have a handful of tickets left, but it will sell out by Friday, so get your tickets early.
All right, go to the telephones now. So 3 different series that you've started this week. There's the Cane Fire film series that's running now at the ACA, mm-hmm. Your singer-songwriter series, and then Jazz at the Center starting off this week. So a very busy week already at the Acadiana Center for the Arts. I think it was second Saturday art walk as well last weekend.
It was
weekend.
Art walk last Saturday. Yes. This next weekend, my crew has the weekend off, which is wonderful, okay. Which is rare for us mm-hmm. these days. But then, of course, the week after, we continue full-blown, because once again, for the 4th year running, we're hosting Seema on the Bayou, Pat Meir, and Rebecca Hudsmith's incredible film festival. They have been going and blowing. It's been growing. We just had a meeting with them. They're drawing people from as far afield as Paris, Montreal, Quebec, California, all over the place. We have film screenings here that are first-run features that will go on to all the major festivals. We have things here that have won Academy Awards before and people that have won Academy Awards with the folks from Moonbot from Shreveport are coming down for this. We're opening the festival with their opening film screening and reception on Wednesday, the 22nd, I believe, and then continue all day Saturday, starting at 9 in the morning until midnight that night, and all day Sunday, also from 9 a.m. until 9 p.m., with some very special events that weekend. So that will be the 25th and 26th. Both of those days culminate in a music performance. On Saturday evening, we're closing with a special performance by Bas Klaas. So it's very, very fun. one evening. And on Sunday night, as a very special treat, we actually have a group of filmmakers honoring the tradition of documentary filmmaking in this region about our incredible music culture, in the tradition of people like Les Blank, who passed away a year ago. And so we have Anne Wilson-Savoy and Michael Doucet play with a panel of panelists conversing about music and documentary films as well. So it's a really special set of events with Cinema on the Bayou this year, stepping it up a notch.
Well, and really showing that the ACA is committing to film, now that you have the Cane Fire film series and, of course, hosting Cinema on the Bayou. We'll have Pat and Rebecca here next week to talk more in detail about those films. One of the things I'm finding interesting about Cinema on the Bayou are the Facebook and social media connections. People you kind of know around the country, journalists and filmmakers, are constantly referencing that film festival now.
Yeah.
So it's well known nationwide, and a lot of filmmakers are extremely proud to be a part of that film festival.
Yeah, we're very excited about the partnership. When Pat approached me 4 or 5 years ago, before we had a theater, we started the relationship then, and it's really deepened into something very fruitful. And I think it's wonderful because, you know, we have a great venue with first-rate screening abilities on hand, and we want to use it and leverage it. And of course, Pat is an eminent filmmaker in his own right, who's really been there and done it with just about everybody, from the Smithsonian to just about every major film gremium, especially on the documentary side in this country and abroad. So really a very classy event. And it's a beautiful supplement to our involvement with Southern Screens in November as well, the other film festival in town. So as we're building Lafayette as a more of a metropolis for film, we would very much like to be part of that.
And if people would like more information about that film festival in particular, they can go to Cinema on the Bayou.
Cinema on the Bayou website gives you the full schedule rundown, okay. And that schedule will be on our site very shortly as well.
Right.
And tickets will be available in either for individual screenings or for an entire day as well. You save some money and you get the music performance thrown for free. So you can do it piecemeal or in one swift swoop.
Okay, so next week you're kind of giving yourself over to film. Are there any other concerts or events happening in addition to the film festival?
The reason why we don't host the festival on Thursday and Friday as well is we actually have a set of very special performances for those 2 days. We do both school performances in the mornings and family performances in the evenings on Thursday and Friday, the 23rd and 24th, of Dinosaur Zoo, Earth's Dinosaur Zoo. It's a show that comes to us from Australia, believe it or not. Incredible performance of a group of artists that have created these extraordinary, realistic-looking puppets of dinosaurs. And they're telling the story and history of this particular period, the Jurassic period on Earth, and what led to the creature's demise, etc., the ecological challenges that came with it, and so on and on. It's a great show. It's entertaining. It's fun. It's exciting for kids. It's somewhat interactive as well. But of course, there's also, as with all of our family and school shows, there's a study guide actually involved in this that supplements everything. So the kids actually have a takeaway and learn more, not just about this period, but also about the challenges of the ecological challenges that we're faced with nowadays and how all this translates and perhaps what the warning signs are for potential issues. So it's a really great set of events. That's on the 23rd and 24th. We have, I think, a handful of tickets left. We're almost full for both nights. For the family performances, and of course, presented by Fugo Chance, our long-standing sponsor of this series, but also now by the Junior League of Lafayette, and the Junior League hosts a reception each of those evenings for the kids as well, which is a wonderful part of the experience. Those shows actually start at 6:30 p.m., an hour earlier, because we have a lot of young ones involved. But I tell you, I've watched this show at a presenters conference in New York a couple of years ago, and for grown-up kids like myself, it's just as much fun. So I highly recommend you take your kids to this or come as you are.
Well, and don't wait to get those tickets because, as you were saying, anything to do with dinosaurs, both children of the age of 4 and people our age love dinosaurs, and particularly ones that are so well presented. And the ACA has for a long time been committed to these family performances, ever since you all were doing work back in the old place where the Acadiana Arts Council was. You had some great series for kids.
That's right. Many people may not know this about us, but of course ACA is deeply committed to arts and education because we think that creative education really opens pathways for kids that, especially for at-risk kids, oftentimes makes the difference between becoming achievers in school and turning lives around. So we're very proud of what our education team has done over the past 30-odd years, really, because when the ACA was still the old Arts Council in a very modest 1,000 square foot office. Education was the first program we actually added besides making grants to the region. Absolutely. And so it's a long-standing tradition. And through this program, these family performances have evolved. And I think Fugu Chance has been with us for more than a decade now supporting these performances.
Well, and I know that there are generations of kids who have very, very fond memories of those family performance series for them. So you can make great memories for your kids, too, by getting tickets for the programs next week through the Acadiana Center for the Arts website. So that's very busy next week, the film festival, the family performance series with dinosaurs at the ACA. And that kind of brings us to a pretty amazing event. I guess I don't know quite what to call it. Social Animal, which will be taking place the following week.
Right. We're closing out the month with something we're very passionate about, and that is modern dance. And this is modern dance really taken sort of towards the edge of what people are used to seeing, because it takes the performance away from the stage, perhaps, and really to the people. The company that we're presenting is called GLO, G-L-O. They're an Atlanta-based company that are now supported by a Rauschenberg Foundation grant, among others. I've been introduced to them about 3 years ago, really, when a mutual friend of mine and the artistic director of the company, Laura Stallings, introduced us in Atlanta. And I saw them perform in the streets, which I thought was really extraordinary. And both the level and quality of dance, of movement, and how they connect to people and use dance as a connector, as a social connector, basically, was something that I found very impressive. Over the years, we kept in touch to some degree, and then sort of serendipity sometimes may have it. We literally thought of each other about performing here at ACA at about the same time. So 9 months ago, we booked this section of performances here. And what happens is the company arrives here on the 29th, but from January 30th through February 1st, we have a variety of things happening. There are outreach events such as masterclasses with dancers here, which are more traditional. But there also will be something the company calls mapping. That is, they flow from ACA out into the street in all directions in about six blocks and engage people and places literally throughout the day through various activities, which is really wonderful. It's very spontaneous and sort of makes you think about movement in a different way. And then, of course, we have traditional evening performances, both on the 31st and 1st. There are two shows. Those performances, really, this is dance at modern dance at its very best, with great music. And we are. This is a site-specific work that Laurie created for ACA. She came here a month ago and visited with us, looked at our venue, explored opportunities, and as you know, our theater is modular. We can move things around and so forth. So we'll have performances actually in the round. The stage will be in the center of the room with seats all around it. We'll probably have the floor covered with dirt as an added element to this, and then this will engage the audience in very different and new ways. So it's really a different experience for dance, something that that I think is very, very exciting. I think once people sit down and experience this and become engaged, it's going to be a unique, really unique experience for everybody.
So does the activity you were describing, the mapping, does that have an effect on the performances in the evening, or is that completely separate?
I think it's a separate event, really, but what happens here is Laurie is very keen on tuning into communities, and that's why she wanted to come here a month ago and explore really what we're all about. We took her, for instance, to a couple of music shows that night at the Blue Moon, so she got to like hear and see what we're all about, which I think was really great, and it sort of opened her eyes towards things. And she's also very much in tune with rooms and what rooms allow her to do. That's one of the reasons why we wanted her to explore ACA, and you know, there will be some activities happening in our galleries, for instance, because she likes to connect to visual arts as well. So this is a person whose creative spirit is just broader than just the traditional stage presentation. And so I think while the mapping may be its own thing, all those pieces kind of feed together, and the piece that she's created for us, actually parts of this have been previewed in a venue in Atlanta called the Old Goat Farm. They call it Tanz Farm now, which is Dance Farm, really. It was formerly a goat farm that was renovated to become a dance center in Atlanta. And so I think this is a company that likes to sort of play a bit on the edge. And I think especially for our younger audiences, for people who are just interested in movement or have maybe experienced dance theater, such as Pina Bauschen, the famous German company and choreographer.
Very famous scene with dirt in her dance.
Exactly, very much so in the Sacre du Printemps, a very famous piece of hers. So if you've experienced anything like that, this will really float your boat.
Well, and in Lafayette, too, we've had quite a number of groups forming, creating these very interesting, unusual dance performance pieces. Some have been at the ACA. I've stopped having that dream I've been having.
For instance,
original music, dance, choreography, just an amazing collaboration between artists.
And that's really the bigger platform of this. We wanted to bring Glow here, and then later this spring we're bringing David Dorfman Dance, one of the most famous modern companies, here, because we're part of a national dance touring initiative with 9 other venues. And as such, we want to build not just a platform to present dance, but also a platform to really enhance dance as an art form in our community. Because if you think about it, this is one of the great centers of indigenous dancing in this country. I mean, Zydeco, Cajun, Creole, what have you. And as you know, I'm the biggest Zydeco dance fanatic there is, right? So it's something that's very close to all of our hearts as a community. But we now want to see how they can also translate into performance dance and dance as a performance art. And rather than just presenting one-off shows, we really thought we want to explore how can this work in the framework of having people here, having famous artists coming in and doing various activities in the community, learning about our community, and maybe build bridges here a bit. Mm-hmm. That's what this is about.
Well, and again, building upon that very long tradition of dance and choreography here at the University of Louisiana at Lafayette.
Absolutely.
Ever since the 60s with the Morelands here, they've been creating several generations extremely interested in contemporary dance. And again, we were mentioning some of these young groups in town now. So this is a fabulous thing that you're bringing in these artists from other places, and they inspire these groups here. And it's a kind of a gathering, a momentum here in Lafayette, thanks to organizations like the ACA. If you are just tuning in, my guest is Gerd Wüstemann, who's executive director of the Acadiana Center for the Arts, talking about all kinds of things going on at the ACA. They started off very quickly with a wonderful cultural season with so many of their different series that are taking place at the ACA. Lots going on this week, and we'll continue through the end of the month with Social Animal, with the group Glow, and we'll have some of the performers come towards the end of the month to talk more about that performance. And you wanted to add something else?
And there's one more thing we should also mention, at least, that is, of course, now ACA and PASA have merged their forces. So we also happen to have a PASA performance at the end of the month. That is on January 30th. It's a wonderful, wonderful show at the Hyman Performing Arts Center, of course, as all of our PASA main stage events are. It's called the Broadway Boys. It's a young group of 6 very, very gifted singers, and they're very handsome to boot as well. So if you like traditional Broadway tunes, if you like modern show tunes, if you're a fan of Glee or The Voice or Idol, shows like that, this is definitely for you. It's going to be a fun-filled, action-packed evening, 7:30, January 30th. Tickets are available through Ticketmaster or the Hyman Center.
All right, and I know we've been talking about a lot of events taking place, a lot of performances. You can find them all at the ACA website, acadianforthecenter.org, you can take a look at their calendar and get tickets all at that website if you haven't been jotting down everything. Again, Gerd Wüstemann, executive director of the Acadiana Center for the Arts, talking about their January schedule, and we look forward to having the performers with Glow come towards the end of the month to tell us more about Social Animal. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.